Well, as a pastor, of course, I want you to be nice Christian people that live nice Christian lives. But that's not the primary meaning of this text we're going to look at today. The main concern here is that you are Christians so that you can, and as any elementary school teacher will tell you, can means ability, so that you will have the ability to live lives that please God. Without the hearing of faith versus works, that's what Paul's really beaten into the ground. Without the hearing of the faith of the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and bodily resurrection, our standing before God is actually one of guilt that actually makes all our quote-unquote nice things we do, good works, they only pile up for judgment. I want you to think about that for a minute. In fact, Paul in Philippians 3 talked about all his spiritual credentials, all the good he thought he was doing in and of himself. And he talks that those things weren't neutral, you know, that those weren't just neutral things that don't count because I was a Christian. He says they actually are evil. His good works done apart from Christ were actually evil. Think about that. So once we're in, Christians, by faith alone, do we think more is needed to actually stay in, to keep our salvation, we might say? But that is what Paul is dealing with here with the Judaizers. So we've been looking at the book of Galatians. You can be turning there to chapter 3, where Paul's writing and defending the gospel, the good news of Jesus alone, and his apostleship that, you know, I'm not some fly-by-night guy. I've actually received this from God. And these things, the condition for your standing before God is solely that gospel, not legalism. The opponents had come in and said, you have to be circumcised, you have to do works of the law. We have equivalent things today, unfortunately, that we think are necessary, sometimes to get in to being a Christian, but more often than not in the evangelical church in order to stay in. And Paul comes down hard on that. And so we are starting a new section, chapters 3 and 4, where Paul is going to get more in depth on describing the gospel, the doctrine, the theology, the teaching of that standing before God. And if you were here last time, Paul introduced this primary concern, justification, big word, but that means our standing, to be reckoned. How is our actual position before God? It's by faith alone. And so now Paul has stopped his personal, historical, he's given some of his travels, he's, you know, sort of been defending who he is as an apostle, having to confront Peter, you know, so now sort of that personal section has ended, and last week was somewhat of a transition, and now he's going to pick up with a lot of heavy-duty teaching. So if you have your Bibles, look at Galatians chapter 3, and we're just going to look at 5 verses. So notice how he starts off, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" And my translation adds, "that you should not obey the truth, but before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you, my translation adds that. Some of yours don't have that, as crucified. So who is bewitched? That word's only used once, but it could mean to cast a spell, to give the evil eye, literally. Who's fascinating you? Like a magician, who has bewitched you that you haven't seen Jesus clearly portrayed, you know, almost like the grand picture of Jesus crucified. So Paul always goes right to Christ, right to him crucified. That's the centrality of his message. So the Galatians are bewitched. Verse 2. Notice he's going to ask a bunch of questions. You know, who has bewitched you? And then verse 2, this only I want to learn from you. You know, there's a loaded question. So tell me, did you receive the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, regeneration, salvation, God the Spirit, by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? That's what we would call a rhetorical question. And of course, the Galatians would say, well, by faith, of course, not by works of the law. So verse 3 then, are you so foolish again? Having begun in the Spirit, receiving the Spirit by faith, are you now being made perfect, being more mature by the flesh? Another rhetorical question. So how, if believing, you know, got you in, why do you think, who has bewitched you? Who has put the evil eye on you and cast a spell on you that somehow now you think that all these extra works, especially for Paul, of the laws of Moses, you know, the Torah, why do you think you need that to continue? And by the way, the who has bewitched you is singular. So some, you know, some commentators think he has a certain person in mind or a certain being, probably Satan. Has Satan bewitched you and put a spell over you, using these Judaizers as his agent? But why are you listening to Satan rather than the truth of the gospel? Verse 4, another question. Have you suffered so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain. So in other words, you know, all those things you suffered, and we don't have recording, you know, in the Bible so much of the churches of Galatia, that Roman province, southern Turkey. We don't have any record really of them suffering persecution, but just the general principle that Christians, if you are standing for Christ, the world's not going to like that, and they're going to persecute you. And so did all this suffering, you was it in vain? Are you wanting to give that up by doing works to try to escape some of this persecution, to blend in, to, you know, to be part of the culture? And then he sort of throws him a bone. If indeed it was in vain, you know, are you really going to fall, or there's still hope for you? So a little pastoral hope there. Verse 5, therefore, he who supplies, God, supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you. Does he do it by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So notice that the Holy Spirit works. There are some denominations, some groups that are obsessed with miraculous signs and tongues and all these things that, yeah, God can and does do them. And the Galatians had experienced it. So your experience, all these things that you have received from God, where did they come from? So notice these questions that he's drawing out. And then the last verse, well, that's verse 5. He supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you. Does he do it, by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Another question. So I mean, just comes down. Works of the law. Law, faith, receiving, doing something, hearing, ears only, or doing, us trying to provide our own righteousness. Those are the what contrast you might say. So what are a couple things for us to take on? First of all, tough love. Earlier when he started the book to Galatians, he'd called them, you know, it's a church, brothers, sisters, brethren, cistern. You know, so he's talking to family. But notice this tough love. This is a form of a direct address. Oh, foolish, you idiots, what are you thinking? You know, so sometimes pastors, all of us, have to tell the truth, even when it hurts. Today we live in a culture where offending people is the worst sin you can do. And we in the church can be really susceptible, or it's worse for us, the danger of detaching theology, right thinking, from our experience. We are a people that live by experiences. You know, and experiences are important, but they have to be regulated, lined up against the truth. You know, well, I experienced, good for you, but it's still wrong because of what God's word in this case says. So not attaching or guiding our experience by the truth. We are a culture just turn on the news, and that's happening in the church. We don't do theology, thinking, we emote. Oh, God loves us. How can he not accept X? Well, because God says he does not accept. So tough love. And I'm getting better about that, believe it or not. So quit your crying and complaining. Shape up, you know, stiff German, you know, but one thing the stroke has taught me, you know, just, it's not my job to try and fix all your wacko emotions. You people are basket cases. It's above my pay grade. But that's what Paul is sort of saying is, ultimately, God, you have received the true experience, the truth of God the Spirit. You should know this, even by experience. And now here's the truth that goes with that experience. It says, a commentator, Timothy George, says, not being firmly grounded in the faith, the truth, they, the Galatians, had been led astray by undisciplined thinking. Janet, can I get an amen? Your students, undisciplined thinking. Undisciplined thinking and careless theology. We are very prone to letting our hearts rule what we think versus our minds. To the point where they were now on the verge of embracing dangerous doctrines. Many churches, denominations that are dying, a lot of that is due to this. They are giving up the truth of what God says, the Bible, and they are trying to blend in and emote with culture. Folks, that'll kill any church. And as your pastor, I'm prone to that too. But one thing I promise you is you may not want to hear it, but I'm going to hopefully tell you the truth with love. Sometimes, you know, I can be all truth and no love. You need the love, but not at the expense of truth. So shape up. And like I said, that's the source, ultimately, sort of lurking behind who has bewitched you is Satan. He's called the father of lies, the deceiver of the brethren. You know, that goes to his, Satan means slanderer. So You know, that's his job description. If God says this, Satan's going to say this. Good verse, you've heard it before, 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent, Satan, deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Think about the church. Think about our lives. Think about big name spiritual gurus, the things they try to complicate the gospel with. That is, as an old preacher used to say, that's a lie from hell and it smells like smoke. You know, the fact that it's the simplicity of Christ. Satan wants to add all sorts of things. Winston Churchill, back during the war, he had a saying that the truth is so valuable. Sometimes you have to guard it with a bodyguard of lies. That is not true in the Christian church. So, okay, and there's some big words for you. But you can see in the prefix, monergism, one, versus synergism, together, cooperation. Part of what Paul is saying is salvation. All of this totally, totally from God. Our salvation. We don't think so. In the church, once again, we think we've got to help God out. If we understand it is totally from God, we will be thankful. You know, grace is bigger than we think it is, right? Or do we help him out? Somehow we in our own self-righteousness can help God accomplish what God is going to do. I mean, think about that. If God's going to do something, who are we to think we're going to help him out? And so some other big words I've used that I think is important at least to hear them. The big word justification, standing, versus sanctification, which means growing, maturing. They are both totally works of God, but the sanctification, there is a sort of a way we cooperate in that we obey and we do. So we have a responsibility, yes, but that is on the other side of our standing. In fact, remember Marty and Evie, what was their last name? That went back down to Florida. What was their last name? I'm sorry. Okay. Well, Marty, he was a teacher, but he worked with wood. And I've shown you that. It's too lazy to bring this sign. I can paint a word picture so I don't have to pull it off my wall. But he made me a woodworking sign that said, faith leads to justification plus works. Pretty much all Christians, almost, unfortunately, and most denominations believe it's faith plus works leads to justification, our standing. We've got works messed up, and that's what Paul is ultimately talking about. Because if you think works are required to be saved, and now I've got to be a nice Christian doing nice things, folks, that there are a lot of people who are not even Christians who, like Paul, are heaping judgment up because they think they're in when they're not. That is so dangerous, and that all of us need to be aware of that. And understand, none of us deserve anything before God. And that's what the Judaizers and these opponents were trying to, you know, oh, Galatians, that's nice. You know, I'm glad you have Jesus, but you also need this to be really good Christians. 1 Corinthians 4:7. Paul says, for who makes you differ from another. I mean, think about, you know, why are we better than those pagans out playing golf right now? You know, do we somehow think we're better? What makes us different from them? Well, we had enough faith and enough righteousness to, you know, help God out. Paul's saying, no, no, no. What makes us different? And what do you have that you did not receive? Receive. Not, I'm not doing, I am receiving. Now, if you did not receive it, and you didn't, why do you boast as if you had not received it? Do you see how that works? We all received. Why then do we actually boast and say, look at me, I'm a member of CFC? No, we received. We don't do before God our standing. So monergism, God does it. And we respond with lives of faith. Receiving the Spirit, the call to worship when Kelvin read, you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Paul is contrasting those. So the Spirit, when we receive the Spirit, we are in, as that's what puts us into the body of Christ. And that's what makes us Christians. 1 Corinthians 12:3, Paul says, therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. So there is no one that believes that no Christian can do that apart from the Holy Spirit. Once again, we received the Holy Spirit. It's not something that, you know, maybe an intellectual, yeah, I think, I believe, you know, but the actual transforming of the heart only comes to dead people, dead in sin, which we all were. Only God, the Holy Spirit, can make us alive, regeneration, new birth, born again. And so the dangerous, that same Timothy George said, some people think that, and these, you know, these Judaizers, these workspace folks were saying, oh, the entry level gospel, oh, believing in Jesus, that's nice, but if you put a but after Jesus, you're in trouble. But, oh yeah, so that entry-level gospel, that's for beginners. But more is needed for spiritual elitism. We wouldn't do that, would we? You know, sometimes we make fun of folks that are so involved with all they are consumed with is, you know, signs, wonders, you know, as if that's the whole purpose of what God's going to do for me now versus being who we are as Christians. We don't believe that, do we? Well, maybe not. Some of us, most of us probably don't. But things like works, the law, keeping certain, you know, don't tell anybody I said this, but even saying dancing, you know, that if you can't dance if you want to be a spiritual elite person. Signs, wonders, baptism, anything we add to the gospel, we are sort of saying, well, that's really not enough. Jesus, that's not enough. I want more. And I want to do something to show how spiritual I really am. And all Christians can fall prey to that attitude. So finally then, did you notice all those questions? Let me sort of repeat some of them. Oh, foolish CFC people. who has bewitched you? You know, after seeing, hearing, and seeing Jesus crucified, who's bewitched you from that? Why do you want more? Did you receive the Spirit? Were you born again, regenerated by the Holy Spirit, by works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Well, hopefully you all say hearing of faith. Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect or more mature by the flesh, by works, by human endeavor? All these answers, you know, these are all have very obvious answers. Have you suffered? You know, we don't suffer too much in Park and Teller County, unfortunately, but have you suffered so much that somehow you think you can blend into the culture to get away from that suffering? And your experience with God the Spirit, His works, His miracles. We just heard during prayer requests, God is doing, it's a miracle. So all those experiences, were those by works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So then why, as Paul would say, why would we regress? Regress means going backwards. Why would we regress from faith? We have Christ. Why would we want to go back to the law? Why would we think we can add to the sufficiency of Christ? He has done it all for us, and we are secure in Him. Why do we think we need to add to that? And can we add to that? No. Martin Luther once said, we must preach the gospel to ourselves every day. So just staying true to the gospel, faith. It began with faith. It continues with faith. Oh, and one other quote for you Lutherans. Where are the Lutherans? Lutherans, raise your hand. I'm looking at you. But Luther said, the most important organs in the body are your ears for hearing the word of faith, not somehow we do. And that's what then makes it all for God's glory. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this brief section. And it sometimes maybe can sound repetitive, but it must be important. Thank you that Paul gets so exorcised about insisting on the simple truth of lives of faith that not only get us in to the family of God, but keep us in. Help us to truly believe and to hear your word with those ears of faith, so that we can ultimately please you, because it is all done in Christ, in whose name we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.